This is KMBA News. I'm Trip Krause. Alaska is warming at a rate twice as fast as the rest of the country. Reporting with KUOW from Seattle, John Ryan gives Washington State a glimpse of a hotter future where disruptions at the lower 48 are just starting to feel or are already going full bore in the last frontier.
I am crouching next to the mouth of a little ice cave underneath the Exit Glacier. That's a huge river of ice on the Kenai Peninsula in south central Alaska. Like many other glaciers worldwide, it's been retreating dramatically in recent years. That sound you hear is this glacier melting, drip by drip. But retreating glaciers are just one of many ways that Alaska has already been profoundly changed by our warming climate.
In much of the state, air and water temperatures are shattering records. Rainforests are suffering droughts. Coastlines are eroding. Seabirds are dying off. And wildfires burn for months. Dina Harms is one of 580 firefighters from around the country working on one of Alaska's biggest wildfires on the Kenai Peninsula.
You know, it's really dry here, so these little spells of rain have been helping, but moisture's not really penetrating deep into the ground where it would help for the fire to go out completely out.
In a state where people hunt and gather much of their own food, the heat in recent years has made it more difficult to put food on the table. The isolated village of Igiagig sits on Alaska's biggest lake, with soggy tundra all around, but no roads. Travel by snowmobile is key. Christina Salmon,
my Yupik name is Nahuya, that means seagull,
is on the Igiagig Village Council.
Last winter, nothing froze. Oftentimes, we need to get across to hunt for our caribou over there, but none of the guys could get over there because all of the creeks and ponds were open. The lake didn't freeze at all. People are boating in March. It's unheard of.
Just like in the Washington Cascades, winters have been bringing less snow and more rain. Salmon says this year's drought has slashed local berry harvests. Some berries, like cloudberries, a tundra delicacy, are ripening weeks sooner, now competing with fishing season. People have to choose, catch salmon or gather fruit.
It's really hard for me because I love the act of putting away food for my family for the winter. It's something I've loved since I was a little girl on fish camp with my grandma.
More than half the world's sockeye salmon, like these splashing in the Little Togiak River, come from the region that Christina Salmon calls home, Bristol Bay. Other parts of Alaska have reported poor salmon returns and even fish die-offs, as rivers have been too hot for salmon to head upstream. The water temperature in one salmon stream north of Anchorage hit a freakish 81 degrees. But oddly, warmer water seemed to be helping Bristol Bay fish. A staggering 55 million sockeye returned to the bay this summer. Daniel Schindler with the University of Washington spends every summer on a remote lake above Bristol Bay studying those fish.
The last few decades, the lakes have warmed up, fish are growing faster, and they seem to have higher survival rates when they head to the ocean.
The question is, how much more warming can the sockeye handle before they decline too? Schindler says we shouldn't make too much of salmon dying in Alaska's heat wave this summer.
So it's clear that lots of fish died, but as a proportion of the run that return to those rivers, I think it's a pretty small fraction.
From diesel generators to float planes, rural Alaska depends heavily on oil. And with the state's government running on oil taxes, transitioning away from fossil fuels could be especially wrenching here. But the tiny village of Igiagig has installed wind turbines, and it's 1 year into a pilot project with a new form of hydropower. The village has plunked an experimental turbine into the depths of the Quijack River to produce climate-friendly electricity without blocking the clouds of salmon that swim past it. Can people outside Alaska fend off the disruptions that the northernmost state is already living through? That mostly depends on the rest of us getting serious about ending our fossil fuel use, too. Reporting from Igiagig, Alaska, John Ryan, KUOW News.
John Ryan's reporting from Alaska was made possible in part by the Institute for Journalism and Natural Resources. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.